All right. I want to talk about operating in the Word of God, being a follower of Jesus tonight. You know, a lot of people are looking for experience. It's great, and we need to have an experience, but looking into the Word of God is what is more important than experiences. In John 8, 31, 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I want to look at these powerful truths in this scripture, yet they're very practical. Maybe I'm going to look at it from a little different than you may have heard somebody. Everybody quotes, "You shall know the truth, the truth shall make you free." Well, you know, after you become born again, there is something more besides just believing in Jesus. You know, these verses are especially important. We as Christians are coming under fire today, and the devil's always trying to tempt us and challenge us. And sometimes people ridicule you because you believe in the Word of God and you believe in Jesus. But we need to realize that we have to go with the Word, because even if the Word is sown and you have the Word sown in you, Satan comes and he tries to steal it away. It says in Mark 4:14, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes to take it away, and that word that was sown in them. You know, we need to realize that the enemy is always trying to get you not to believe the word of God, get you out of the word, because if he can get you out of the word of God, then he can steal all of your blessings. Now, you know, when you start telling people, "Well, the enemy's going to come after you," they become afraid, you know, and they did, "Oh, I'm afraid," so they don't do anything. You know, a little funny story. There was a man, he was sick, laying in the bed, and unable to get up, and pastor went to visit him and talk to him, and he said, "Well, brother, we just need to rebuke the devil here." And the man on the bed looked and he said, "Pastor, I'm in no position to antagonize anybody." Some people are like that about the devil. They don't want to do anything that might upset the devil. Well, he's already upset, and if you're a Christian, he's already after you. So, you know, some people hope the devil will leave them alone. A man came to my dad one time and said, you know, "Brother Hagin," after he got through preaching a message, said, "Would you pray for me that the devil would leave me alone?" He said, "You want me to pray that you'll die?" Because as long as we are here serving God, the enemy, the devil, is going to be after us. How we respond is what is important. Now, I want you to notice the instructions that Jesus gave here. You know, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." The NIV says, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples." God's Word translation says, "If you live by what I say, you are truly my disciples." The New Century Version says, "If you continue to obey my teaching, you are truly my followers." The Amplified says, "If you abide in my word and hold fast to my teaching and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples." The Message says, "If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure." I want you to notice that in these verses here, there is the word "if." The word "if." You know, many people are living in the iffies. You know, "If only I would have done this. If only I would have made this decision. If only I wouldn't have drove down this road. If, if." If is a word used to shift blame or offer an excuse for why something's not done. You know, well, if so-and-so hadn't got in my way, I would have had this finished. You know, that little word, if, has power. It keeps people from dealing properly with the past and going forward because they keep saying, well, if so-and-so hadn't have done so-and-so. Hey, see, that keeps you from propelling yourself forward. You know, you got to keep going. You know, some people get stuck in the trap of the ifs. If God would do certain things, then I will do certain things. Well, no, it's the other way around. God's already done it. So if you'll do what he tells you to do, everything be all right. It's not if he's going to do something. It's if you are going to do something. Real faith goes beyond the if. Get the if out. Then, see, Jesus then says, he says, if you abide. Or if you're going to read the old King James, continue. If you abide, if you continue. The word Greek word here that's translated abide, according to Strong's Concordance, means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. So we are supposed to develop a determination to abide in God's word no matter what happens. To stay consistent in our relation with an expectancy of what God's word says. God's blessings and favor comes to those that continually abide. You know, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I want you to notice, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You know, if you abide in air, oxygen, you're still not going to live. Because it's got to abide in you. You got to have the oxygen inside your lungs. You just can't be in it and be in oxygen. And that's what God's saying here. He is saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Anybody get what I'm trying to say to you? I don't know whether I said that right or not. See, this is a abiding with God is a continual journey, not a one-time event. Actually, you might want to say it this way, it's a lifestyle. Salvation is an experience. Living daily with the Word of God and abiding with Him is a lifestyle. You know, some people think that as long as they have been born again or they abide in Christ, everything's all right. No, the word has to abide in them for them to receive any of the blessings that belong to them. See, what are we going to do with the word of God? Okay, Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, I like what the New Living Translation, how it says it. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Now, we have to continue in the Word of God. Now, it says, if you abide in my Word, you are truly my disciples. Well, actually, then that's saying that if you're not abiding in the Word, you're not truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. Oh, the people don't like that, but they know what that's what it said. If you abide in my word, you are indeed my disciples. Now, that word disciple there in the Greek means a learner or a pupil. It gives us an idea of what discipleship is. It is living in line with the Word of God constantly. You see, there are four things we need to constantly do. We need that involves the Word of God. Constantly listening to the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. It says here that if we abide in the Word, in His words, then we are truly His disciples. You see, the Word of God is speaking to us. Some people say, God never talks to me. Well, you don't read your Bible then. Because that's God talking to you when you read the Bible. Then it also involves being a disciple and involves constantly learning from the Word of God. Constantly learning from the Word of God. You know, a disciple is a learner. That's what this Greek word says it is, a learner, somebody that learns. A person who shuts their mind up to the being a learner ends their discipleship journey with Christ. Oh, people don't like when you say that, but that's what it's saying here. Come on. Then it also being a disciple or a learner, it involves constant study of the Word of God. As you can see, it is a lifestyle. It's something that we do. Now, the last one here is one that people don't like because it's constantly or consistently obeying what the Word says to do. See, we study the Word to find out what God wants us to do and how God wants us to live, and then we obey what the Word says. Now, that's a lot of people read the Word, but they don't ever do what the Word tells them to do. Boy, y'all are quiet tonight. Y'all gone home already? Or are you still here? Or are you just listening really good? Okay. Then he goes on. We read it there. And it, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, what is the truth? Go to John 17, 16. John 17, 16. This is Jesus praying a prayer for us that are born again. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He's talking to his Father God. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Yes. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they may also be sanctified. I want to read it from NLT. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is the truth? The Word of God. It's the Word of God. Knowing the truth of the Word of God that sets you free. Thank God for our salvation experience. But if we're going to be a true disciple of Christ, then we have to study the Word, which is the truth. And that's what sets us free. You see, when you know the truth from the Word of God, you know what you have been set free from. You know what God says He will do for you. If you don't know the truth, then you can't experience anything. See, if somebody had left you, say, $100,000in the Bank of Oklahoma. They have Bank of Oklahoma over here, and they got them in Tulsa. I figured they have them over here. All right. It's yours. It belongs to you. But if you don't know the truth, then you can't go claim it. Right. Yes. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Right here is the truth of what God says belongs to us. Healing, prosperity, protection, all of that. But if you don't know the truth, then you can't be set free. See, he says here, it said discipleship is abiding in the word, and a result of abiding in the word is the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Now, according to what Adam Clark's commentary, there's all kinds of different theological commentaries out there that you can go, and James and Fawcett, and I don't know how many different ones, but I particularly like Adam Clark. I mean, all of us that have been to Bible school and taken any kind of theology, we've all studied these different commentaries. But in Adam Clark's commentary, he makes a notation. It was a maxim of the Jew that no man was free but he who exercised himself in the meditation of the law. In other words, he meditated on the law. He exercised in that. He's saying this is talking about. Abiding in the word is that you exercise yourself in the word by studying the word, knowing what the word says. My dad always said, and many of you knew my father and read his books and heard so many. How many of you heard him preach in person? A lot of you did. He always said, and you probably heard him say this, you cannot believe beyond the actual knowledge of God's word. Anybody ever hear him say that? If you did, raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Yeah. You can't see, then we can't be set free if we don't know the truth of God's word. You can't believe beyond the actual knowledge. See, verse 32 here, and that's what Adam Clark is talking about, a constant experimental knowledge of its power and efficiency and effectiveness. That's what Adam Clark says about this verse. Now, we're not talking about some intellectual grasp of something. We're not talking about reasoning with the scriptures. We are talking about actually experience the word of God and letting it set us free through the life-giving power of the word of God. Now, you know, discipleship means then that we are abiding in the freedoms that the word of God has said. We read there where Jesus said that the word of God was truth. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know the truth about salvation, and you're free from sin. You know the truth about fear, and you're free from fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what? Yeah, I know something. See, you know the truth, so he sets you free from fear. See, you know the truth about, it's not what other people think about you. Some people are so fearful about what other people are going to say about them. See, if you know the truth of God's word, you're released from what people think. Too many people are dominated by what somebody's going to think about them. Hey, if you're walking in truth, it doesn't make any difference what they think. It's what God thinks. Amen. Hello. H.G. Wells said, the voice of our neighbor sounds louder in our ears than the voice of God. There's a lot of truth in that statement. Yes. See, a disciple is a person who has ceased to care about other people's opinions and care about what God's word says. You know, we're living in a world where everything, you got to be careful what you say. You won't be politically correct. Well, I want to be biblically correct. Amen. Yes, amen. Hello. You see, a disciple is someone who knows the truth and knows how to exercise that truth in his life or her life as they live down here, enjoying the benefits that God said belong to us. You see, these scriptures are very powerful. People always want to quote, the truth will make you free. But there is no being free if you don't read verse 31 and understand it. See, it says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, the truth's going to make you free. And then we went and read where John was writing there, and Jesus said that God's word was truth. So when we know the truth of God's word, that is a definite statement. The truth shall make you free. That is a direct, definite statement. It's not maybe you'll be free. It's not sometime it's going to happen. It's not would you like to be free? No, it says you will be free if you know the truth, which is God's word. Knowing the truth sets you free from condemnation, guilt, shame, free from old habits and desires, free from fears, free from sickness, disease, poverty, pain, lack, you name it. If you know the word, the truth will set you free. Yes, amen. The truth is that you can claim protection in all situations, according to the word of God. I've done it many, many times. The minute they said, tornado watch, we joined hands together and we immediately said, Heavenly Father, we have the right and the authority according to the word of God to put the protection around our properties, around all the Rhema properties, and around our kids' properties. Because that's the only people that I have a right. I have a right to speak in. I can't say, well, I put the protecting angels around Glenn and Heather's place because I don't have that authority. But that I can say, I agree with them. And Lynette will tell you, I'll always end up saying, I agree with all of my members of Rhema as they put the protection power of God around their properties. I agree with them. Now, I can do that. That's what the word says. See, the truth, the word of God. Yeah, I immediately began to do that. I immediately began to say that. I don't know how many of our people have been in harm's way, and they have immediately begun to proclaim what the word of God says, the truth of the word of God's, and they've been protected.
Yes, amen.
See, tonight I trust that you learned a little bit from this little bit of lesson that I've shared with you. I hope I've stirred you up to get into the word of God more and learn more about the truth of God's word. Because the more truth you know, the freer you're going to be. Yes. Amen? Amen? Heavenly Father, I just talked to these people for a few moments tonight to stir up their hearts, to help them to know the truth, which is your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody stand, please, and reach your hands out here toward these cloths. Here is a grandbaby, 3 years old, that has colds and so forth and so on. Then we have Miss Shirley Ledford usually sits there. She fell and is having a hard time breathing, also having a hard time after she had her wreck. And then yes, she needs strength. And then, you know, all of them know Pam back there. She fell, twisted her back, is in excruciating pain. I know something about that when I blew a disc out. And Brother Ernie Garcia, he just wasn't feeling well, so he went in to have his heart checked, and they immediately put him in the hospital and put in two stents. He had two arteries blocked. So we need to stretch your hands out, and we lay hands on these cloths. You know, the Bible says in Acts 19:11-12 that they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul when they laid on the sick. The diseases departed and evil spirits left. We also know that when the woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5:25, when she touched his garment, power went out and healed her. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now that this child, I thank you, Father, that they are healed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that Pam's back. Take this pain away right now. I thank you for helping Ernie to restore to perfect health in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you touch Miss Shirley, Father. Touch her. She's having trouble breathing. She needs strength. I thank you, Father, that all of the things that she needs shall be met in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands up and thank God that it's done in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, did y'all get anything out of what I said tonight? All right. Praise the Lord. Ain't that Sunday night, 6 o'clock, we'll be right here again. Come believing, come speaking. Oh, anybody here need prayer for healing? Anybody? I think everybody's Christians, but I'm going to give up. If somebody here doesn't know Jesus Christ or needs to rededicate your life to God, come right down here. I'll pray with you. Or if you need healing, come down here. We'll pray for you. Praise the Lord. Well, nobody's coming. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. All right. We'll see y'all next Sunday night. Have a great week. Praise the Lord.